You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Thursday. Hour one, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll check in with Reggie Miller. Reg will join us from the bubble as we get ready for the final game before we head into the postseason. Chip Kelly, UCLA head football coach. What's he think of spring football? Kyle Brandt, one of the co-hosts, Good Morning Football, had a really revealing interview podcast with Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk to Kyle about that coming up. You can get involved in the program a variety of ways. You can dial us up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Say good morning to our radio and TV partners, those watching on youtube.com/thedanpatrickshow, and 362 radio affiliates around the world. Sometimes what's going on in the NBA bubble feels like a completely different season than the one we had before the pandemic. And we've seen some unexpected stars. Who would have thought T.J. Warren would be the Michael Jordan of the bubble? Michael Porter Jr. Last time you heard of him was probably when he got injured at Missouri. Now, you do have some stars who have even elevated their games. Damian Lillard certainly has. Devin Booker is known in the inner circles as a great player. You know, serious basketball fans know him, but he's played well enough to take the next step. We know about Luka Doncic. He's been dominant. As LeBron gets older, I keep bringing this up, who is going to be that face? And it's probably not going to be singular. It's going to be plural. There are going to be faces of the NBA. We know about Harden, the Greek Freak, KD, Curry. There's not going to be another Jordan. There's not going to be another LeBron. You know, maybe it's Luka, maybe it's Zion, maybe it's somebody who's not even in the NBA right now. But there have been some interesting storylines from the bubble, and we'll talk to Reg about those coming up. Here is a story that is sort of simmering, and it has to do with Nebraska football. We've brought this up that Nebraska, they're not in open defiance of the Big Ten, but it certainly feels like they're flirting with that, that they want to play football, that you have the governor, you have the school chancellor, the athletic director, the coach. Everybody's all in on Nebraska wanting to play football and thinks they could do it safely with fans in the stands. This is what I was told earlier this morning by a source. The Big Ten, quote, postponed the season and didn't cancel. And that is something to keep in mind. Apparently, there is a difference, according to my source. If Nebraska were to leave the Big Ten could sue. Their only option is to try and go back to the Big 12, but they left the Big 12 because they hate Texas so much. Once again, they didn't cancel the season. They postponed the season right now. And from what my source told me, maybe Nebraska is not going to have enough schools to play. Now, maybe they could play BYU, maybe Conference USA, American Athletic Conference opponents, maybe New Mexico State. Maybe if there's some openings with the SEC, ACC, and Big 12, Nebraska could fill in some of those spots there. Because I don't know if every school is going to take on the liability that we're seeing with the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12. I don't know if all those schools are going to be playing football. Big 12 says, we're going to go. We're going to try. You know, we have clarity here on what we're trying to do. We don't have certainty, but we have clarity here. But I don't know what we're going to have with the other schools in these conferences, because you might have a president, chancellor, who is going to say, on second thought, we're not able to pull this off. But as it is right now, college football is going to be played somewhere, somehow. And the NFL starts a month from tonight. And you look at the first test that came out, under 1% with the NFL. I don't worry about preseason. I don't worry about the first couple of weeks. But boy, do I worry about once these guys feel like, hey, you know what? Maybe we could step out of the bubble. Keep this in mind. You talk about college kids and you put them on campus and you say, well, it's hard to keep track of them, but, you know, we're going to try to do this. The Cleveland Indians had two pitchers, professionals, who went rogue, went on out on the town in Chicago. And one was around the entire team when he got back. They're getting paid to behave and couldn't do it. That would make me nervous. That would make me nervous with the NFL. You have to police yourself. And these two pitchers, Plesac and Clevinger, couldn't do it. And then you run the risk of being with your teammates. don't tell your teammates, you could have shut down your entire season or at least hit the pause button there. But what's going on at Nebraska? What's going to go on at some other schools? We keep hearing whispers about Ohio State. Can they make this happen? I don't think Ohio State would do this in defiance of the Big Ten. Can't see that happening. I know they want to play. All the coaches, I'd be shocked if a coach goes, you know what? I don't want to play. You know what? I talked to my players. They don't want to play. Everybody wants to play. And I understand why you would want to play. And the NFL has to feel pretty good because they'll start on time. And as I've said on numerous occasions, I don't know if they finish on time. They're going to start on time. A month from tonight, the NFL starts. Meanwhile, college football, I don't know what the schedules are going to be. College football used to start late August. Now it's going to be at the tail end of September. They may start on time. I don't know if they're going to finish. And even if they do, are we going to have a national championship? I have no problem if the ACC and SEC play a championship game against one another and say, hey, you're going to be the national champ, whoever wins. They normally play against each other. So, all right, Ohio State's not in there. But other than that, should be pretty good. You might not get too many arguments here. So that's just some of the news here with what's going on with college football and the fact that the NFL starts a month from tonight. I can't wrap my head around that. I watched Hard Knocks, and Hard Knocks was basically about the medical side of this. It wasn't much football there with Hard Knocks. With both the Chargers and the Rams, then you find out Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, he had COVID, and just how they're trying to pull off these practices. So you had a couple of moments where you're just watching. Nobody's throwing the football to anybody else because you don't want to have somebody's hands on it, then somebody else's hands on it, and you're not throwing the football. You're not really having a practice. And I just don't know how these teams are going to be ready in a month. 4 weeks from tonight, first game.
Let's go.
Crazy. All right, let's go around. You got a poll question there, McLevin?
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, do you guys consider the college football season legit in the sense of Dabo Swinney? Will the championship be legit this year?
Well, it's not going to be legit, but it's as close as we're going to get. Is baseball going to be legit? No. NBA, that'll be legit. Once again, I said I wasn't going to be nitpicking here. If they play football, great. You want to have ACC and SEC, and maybe if the Big 12 is still playing and they want to have four teams, two games, I'm fine with that. Ohio State not being in there, does it legitimize it? No. But if that's the best we have this year, fine. Yeah, McLevin.
I don't want to put you on the spot because I know you're a voter, but should there be a Heisman this year?
That's a little bit different.
But tricky.
It is. I think that there will be. I think that there will be. Has there ever been a year where we didn't have a Heisman Trophy winner? I know that we've had winners who lost their award, lost their trophy, but we did have a Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah, Paul.
The 1943 college football season had a lot of teams tap out. I would say maybe 50% of the teams tapped out for different reasons around World War II. There was a 1943 Heisman Trophy winner, Angelo Bertelli of Notre Dame. So they did keep the award, even though a good percentage of teams did not play the college football season in 1943.
Well, it probably helped that Notre Dame played that year. So that hurt me. If Army, Navy, Notre Dame played, then you could probably get a Heisman Trophy winner out of that. Yes, Todd.
If you're going to have NBA bubble MVP awards, you're going to give out a Heisman Trophy, I would hope.
You know, the fact that we have bubble awards, why do we need bubble awards for 8 games? Because they're handing out bubble awards. Like, this feels like participation trophies here. You got in the bubble, so we got to hand out awards. If you want to get, is TJ Warren the MVP of the bubble? Yeah, McLevin.
I thought so, but I got the updated stats. A lot of guys are making a run at TJ Warren. He's fallen down a little bit. He's not the leading scorer anymore.
Is he more valuable than Damian Lillard?
No, Lillard is by far the leading scorer.
Yeah, well, no, I'm talking about the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, Damian's run away with it, I think.
What I think he's, doing, I mean, Damian Lillard, if you want to give out, okay, I'm not gonna complain. You want to hand out bubble awards? Go ahead, hand out bubble awards.
Didn't you say in November that you thought Damian Lillard and TJ Warren would battle for league MVP?
I thought it was going to come down to those two. I thought it was. Yes. Yes, McLevin.
You know, you look at these scores at the bubble. You forget Luka and Harden are both still scoring 35 points a game. Are they any less valuable than Lillard?
Well, I think Luka has had some pretty impressive performances. I don't think James Harden has had those kind of performances. The Greek Freak is going to be the MVP, the regular season MVP. That's a foregone conclusion. I think the only thing is he going to be Defensive Player of the Year as well? And how much does he run away with this award? Because I'm hearing that he's going to win it and win it comfortably over LeBron. And rightfully so. I understand it, you know. And I started to look at the Lakers situation. I want to bring this up to Reggie. If you look at the Lakers and they face Portland, then they have the Rockets, then the Clippers. Now, this is assuming they win, and these are the possible matchups for them. So they have Portland, who's playing as well as anybody, with certainly Damian Lillard playing as better than anybody. Then you have the Rockets. They're a matchup nightmare. Then the Clippers, and you don't have home court advantage. And then let's say you would face the Bucks in the NBA Finals. That's as tough a road as you're going to find. So that's why there is no asterisk. This will be even more challenging. If LeBron and the Lakers win, this will be as impressive as any postseason run we've ever seen of level of competition you're going through. But you start to look at these numbers with the Lakers. Not a good shooting team, at least in the bubble. And it's not just three-point shooting. It's just regular field goal percentage. I think there's only one team shooting worse than the Lakers in the bubble right now. Kyle Kuzma better step up. Danny Green better step. Somebody better step up here, because they're going to need just a little bit of help here. By the way, this program is brought to you by the great folks at LegalZoom. Need to make it legal? Make it LegalZoom.com. You can start online, and their network of independent attorneys can provide advice when you need it the most. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. So what is the poll question we're going to go with, McLovin?
I know you don't want it. Let's put up the who's the bubble MVP. Come on, get the debate started. If we fuel this thing, it could become a thing. By the way, Luka only shooting 29% from three in the bubble compared to TJ Warren, 53%. Luka is not deadly accurate from three yet.
Yeah, but I think he takes some really tough shots, contested shots there. I think as he gets older, he's going to be smarter in, you know, his shot selection there. But it feels like they have to rely on him to get shots up. And I think because of that, he does take some forced shots, contested shots.
Bubble burst. And you make fun of someone in the NBA bubble.
You've been bursting their bubble.
I just had a source who just sent me a text. A date to watch for in the NFL is August 17th. That's when players are allowed to wear pads and have contact for the first time. So August 17th is a date to keep an eye out on. All right, we'll take a break here. Reggie Miller is set to join us via Zoom from the bubble. We'll come up with a poll question. Phone calls are always welcome. And I have what might be the worst attempt at pronouncing an NBA player's name. Maybe the worst attempt in the history of the NBA in trying to pronounce a name. It's not even close. Not even close. I'll have that for you when we come back. It's 15 after the hour, just getting started on this Thursday. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. I love these wireless earbuds. Here's the problem. My daughter leaves for school tomorrow. I asked, where are the earbuds? And then she gave me the what earbuds? And I said, the ones that I had here that were on the table. I don't know. So I said to my wife, I don't want to be going through her luggage to see if she has my wireless earbuds. I said, so would you? So my wife goes, what do I do if I find them? I said, just leave them in there. You know, I can always get another pair, but I get it. You know, my Kids will deceive me just to get these everyday E25 earbuds. The best ones yet, 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, more compact design, gives you that nice noise isolating fit. So if you want to conference call, you want to binge a podcast, video chats, you're going to love the Raycon earbuds. They're stylish, discreet, no dangling wires or stems. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Patrick. That's buyraycon.com/Patrick for 15% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Next Great Podcast. Go to nextgreatpodcast.com. Get the details. Submit your pitch. Got an idea for a podcast? We're going to select up to 10 semifinalists, give each one of them $1,000 to produce a pilot episode. Then listeners from around the country will vote on their favorite Next Great Podcast, and I will go into business with you that first year. NextGreatPodcast.com, and I hope to work with you. Before we get to Reggie Miller, I got to play this. This might be the worst attempt at pronouncing the Greek freak's name. I don't know if anybody comes close. This is from 7 News in Australia.
One of the NBA's biggest stars is in hot water on the eve of the playoffs. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Let's try it again. Let me hear it one more time.
One of the NBA's biggest stars is in hot water on the eve of the playoffs. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hey, I have to admit, first time I tried to pronounce it, I didn't do too well. But that was a couple of years ago. Not now. Let's bring in Reggie Miller, who joins us from the bubble. How long did it take you to pronounce Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Oh, wow. I don't know if I still have it down. Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it's Bo, not Po. People don't understand that it's Bo, not Po.
Thank you, Reg. Reg will be on the call. Mavs Suns at 4 Eastern, Blazers Nets at 9 Eastern on TNT. So double duty here. Should we have bubble awards?
I think it's fun. I mean, we're in unique times. This is a different situation. And certainly, I think just to highlight, again, some teams and some players have played a little bit harder than others. Some are still getting going, but it's fun. It's catchy.
Okay. Why not? Where would you showcase your bubble award? If I came into your house and you had won a bubble award, Reg.
I would say, oh, come here. I would have opened up my bottom sock drawer,
okay,
pulled it out, and like, hey, I was MVP of the bubble, you know, back in 2020.
I think we should just call it POTB, Player of the Bubble. Is it? Well, who's your pick? Damian Lillard, T.J. Warren for a little while there was the Jordan of the bubble. So who is the MVP?
Are you going with bubble MVP
right
now?
Yeah.
I probably would go Damian Lillard has been fantastic, incredible numbers, what he's doing to push them probably to that A spot. I have to go with Devin Booker. You know, 7-0 for the Phoenix Suns. No one expected them to be on this run and in contention.
Yeah.
They still can get that A spot, but I still think they can get that nice spot and have those playing games. I think it's you can't go wrong between Lillard and Booker. I give this very slight, edge to Devin Booker just because right now they are the only undefeated team in the bubble. And they have a shot of actually, you know, playing for those play-in games in the Western Conference.
And then we have Suns and Blazers on Saturday?
Memphis is still in play, and San Antonio Spurs are still in play. So it's going to come down to tonight's games. Three of those teams are on our network. San Antonio, obviously Phoenix, we mentioned, and Portland. Portland plays Brooklyn in the nightcap.
The Greek freak gets suspended for one game for headbutting Mo Wagner. What did you make of that?
Well, it's convenient that he gets one game. He wasn't going to play tonight's game anyway.
I know. Okay. If the playoffs started tomorrow, Is the Greek Freak suspended for that first game?
Yeah, I still think he would have
okay.
been suspended.
Okay.
Yeah, he right. still would have.
Okay.
I just thought maybe they were going to give him two games, and then he would have been missed game one of the first round. But it's a one-game suspension. I get it. I've been there. I've been headbutted before, so I understand it.
Wait,
I
mean, but didn't you headbutt?
No, I was headbutted by John Starks.
Oh.
I was headbutted by John Starks. And I reacted the same way Wagner did. You know, you act like you're like been shot out of the canyon. You know, you act, oh, my God. What has happened to me? Lordy. Oh, but yeah, it wasn't that hard of a. And actually, more of his throw got Wagner than anything else.
But I thought, oh, okay. So Starks is the one who hit you. Okay.
He headbutted me.
Okay.
And got thrown out. Okay. Yes.
You should have been a theater major at UCLA. The way you played.
Look at me. I'm not the biggest of guys. You've got to be able to use a little bit of everything. So I wouldn't necessarily, as you say, it wasn't flopping, Theodore. I was acting.
I know.
Acting.
But it helped you. But how frustrated did players get because you were flailing a little bit or acting a little bit and getting calls?
Very frustrated. And I think that's where the trash talking kind of came in, because once I would get the call and they're over there griping to the official, and then they would come to me like, you know, man up. And then I would kind of whisper things back to them. And that's how a lot of these like little in-game rivalries kind of evolve, is during those type of interactions or dramatic acting, as I call them.
Did Jordan get suspended for trying to gouge your eyes out?
No. Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, okay.
I was suspended one game. You're talking about the big fight we had. I was suspended one game.
I don't know if that was a big fight.
That wasn't a big fight. Yeah, you're right.
It could have.
That was an undercard. That wasn't a fight.
It could have escalated.
No, I got suspended a game. He got suspended, I believe, three games for that.
Okay.
But if you remember, I got thrown out of that game. He got to continue that game in Market Square in Indiana.
Wow.
That's the power of Jordan.
Yeah. We're talking to Reggie Miller, the Hall of Famer. He's got two games today, Mavs Suns at 4 Eastern and Blazers Nets at 9 Eastern on TNT. I'm just looking at the numbers here. I try not to be somebody who overreacts, but I'm just looking at the raw numbers with the Lakers. Not a good field goal percentage from two-point range, certainly three-point range here. And you could be walking right into the Portland Trail Blazers or Phoenix Suns here. How much concern do you have with the Lakers now that we're winding down the regular season and the postseason starts next week?
I will say this. If Kyle Kuzma can play like he played against the Denver Nuggets when he hit the game winner, and he is that third outlet, he is that third presence on the floor, I wouldn't be so worried. But again, the game of basketball, it's not a light switch. You can't turn it on and turn it off. I like to see consistency. I like to see a team having a rhythm and playing well as they're building up, as they're ramping up, getting ready for the playoffs. We have not seen that from the Lakers. Is it concerning? Yes. But at the end of the day, you still have LeBron and you still have Anthony Davis, who, by the way, has struggled as well in this bubble restart. So I would love to see a little bit more consistency in terms of, as you mentioned, the numbers of shooting. But if they come out, and if it's against Portland, if it's against Phoenix or whomever, Memphis, San Antonio in the first round, and they go 4-1, this will be a moot point. But if they struggle, remember, these teams that they potentially could be playing, every game has been a playoff game for them. So they're already playing at playoff level. It's not a light switch. If the shooting's not there, it could be a very long series for the Lakers.
Yeah, that's what I wondered about. Let's say Portland gets in and every game has been a playoff game for them. At some point, you may run out of that energy that you have. Or, you know, can you go on a run because you've been playing at playoff level basketball there? That would be my big curiosity with, no matter who the Lakers face, those teams are coming in, scratching and clawing.
Yeah, you're wondering if they're going to run out of gas.
Yeah.
But I think for Portland, they've been campaigning, especially Damian Lillard. If you remember before this bubble restart, when they were questioning who were they going to bring and where they're going to have a shot at making the playoffs. Dame says, look, if we don't have a shot of making the playoffs, I'm just going to sit on the sideline and cheer my teammates on. I think that's why they formatted what we're seeing right now. And the way he is playing, I don't see any letdown on his end. The thing that kind of concerns me, though, with the Portland Trailblazers is the health report and the injury to CJ McCollum. I know he's having a back issue right now, and he's that other guy that puts so much pressure offensively on you. If he's not 100% healthy, I still believe Portland could upset the Lakers, but it diminishes their chances if he's not at 100%.
Give me the other team that you would say keep an eye on, certainly if it's in the West or the East.
Look, there's going to be some unbelievable first-round matchups. We have, like, rivalry matchups. We've got Boston versus Philadelphia, Al Horford versus his old team. We've got Jimmy Butler versus T.J. Warren, Miami versus Indiana. How about CP3 getting a chance to go against James Harden and Russell Westbrook, Russ going against OKC's? A lot of history in these first-round matchups. Something that's going to be exciting to see. I mean, if there's a team that possibly could rise up. Again, I'm putting my chips with Portland because Damian Lillard is playing on a different planet right now. And if guys continue to taunt him in the bubble, I'm just telling you guys, he is not the one to do this with. A guy that has the ball 90% of the time with unlimited range and a purple light, you do not trash talk guys like that that can put 50 on you anytime they step on the floor.
And he goes back to back, though, over 50. That doesn't happen very often in NBA history. And these are all big games. I'm also curious, you know, we saw what happened with the Greek Freak. We've seen some trash talking there. We've, you know, followed what Damian Lillard has been saying back and forth. The Clippers with what they were doing with Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. Are players starting to go a little stir crazy there in the bubble, Reg?
I think so, and I think it came out yesterday that, oh my goodness, we're going to be able to bring some family and friends in here pretty soon because I think they've been in isolation. It's been them and 15 of their teammates in coaching and coaching staff and management. I think so. I think they're going a little stir crazy, and I think that's why they've kind of let up on their restrictions a little bit, being able to allowing, you know, family members and close friends, if you can – prove that they're a close friend. I think they're going to open up their restrictions, and I think that will kind of lessen the tension a little bit. But again, we're getting ready for playoffs, and usually come playoff times, that's when guys are probably at their moodiest. So I don't know. I think that maybe they're going a little stir crazy, but it's fun to watch, I'll tell you that.
Do you think the NBA adopts this play-in scenario as we move forward when we leave the bubble?
I think if there is no vaccine in the near future, I think we could have multiple bubbles next year. I think we can have an East Coast bubble and a West Coast bubble.
No, the play-in, you know, what we're seeing
in
the West. Okay.
I like it. The only disadvantage I think it is, it's for the number one seed because you don't know who – you can't prepare and you don't know who you're going to play for. But if you're the number one seed, do you really care who the eighth spot – you shouldn't be worrying about the eighth spot if you're the number one seed. I think that's the only disadvantage. But it gives a little bit of a feel towards like the March Madness. You got to play yourself in. It gives teams an actual shot of competing.
If I look at, you know, people want to look at this, whoever wins, is there an asterisk attached to it? And I said, yeah, there might be because of the degree of difficulty is harder than probably any other year that we've had in NBA history. A bonus asterisk is what you get. The Lakers with no home court advantage. Let's say they would face Portland, Rockets, Clippers, and then let's say the Bucks. I don't know if you can find a team in NBA history that has gone through something like that and not had home court advantage. You throw that in there as well. That's why I have no problem saying anybody who wins a title, I'll give you 1.5 titles.
Whoever wins this championship will have won it. All the points that you just mentioned, you're going to be going through all the tough teams. And I cannot stress this enough. Because being in these arenas and with no fans and these teams manufacturing their own energy, because there's been a tendency, and to me, the games have been fantastic. They've been close. They've been competitive. And I'll give all the guys credit because for the most part, they came back in shape, but they have had to find motivation in other ways. And if you can win this championship with everything that's factored in, you're right. It's an asterisk. It's an asterisk on the good side because you will have actually had to go out and win it.
Well, it's going to be fun. I don't want to have preferential treatment or say I'm rooting for somebody, but if you said the Suns and the Blazers were going to be playing against one another, I would be...
Or a play-in? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Devin Booker versus Damian Lillard. That alone, that's a headliner for that play-in game. Remember, whoever is eight only has to win one game. The ninth place team has to win two games to get that eighth spot. So I love it. It would be fantastic. I'm not rooting for anyone as well, but right now my two bubble MVPs are Damian Lillard and Devin Booker. Let them settle it in a play-in game, and right now they've set themselves up for that to happen.
And I'm glad that we've been able to see some of these players that we wouldn't normally see. And Devin Booker is front and center because he's one of the great shooters in the NBA. You know, he's one of the top five, you know, form, his beautiful looking shot there. I don't know how good that team is. You know, DeAndre Ayton, and I don't know. I don't know if that's a full team, but it is an exciting team to watch because of him. And the same with Portland. They have the ingredients to be a formidable team. I just don't know if they're going to be able to put it all together in time to do that. So it should be a lot of fun, and I'm glad, you know, T.J. Warren, some of these other players you wouldn't normally see are playing, you know, some good basketball, and we're getting an opportunity to witness that. It's great to talk to you. Have fun this afternoon and tonight.
I appreciate it, and I'm a little upset. I'm with you. I woke up grumpy the last couple of days. Yeah. We got robbed.
Yeah.
We got robbed. I consider myself the fifth Danette. And look, I give you a lot of credit. Your reaction was great. But trust me, if I would have been with you guys in front of that camera, I would be like, this is bull. This is some bull. Easy. We were robbed. Where's our sports Emmy? You're lucky. You're lucky I wasn't with you guys.
That would pretty much guarantee we wouldn't have a shot at next year.
Maybe that's why they haven't given it to us.
Yes. But you know what? If we had won, you would have gotten a sports Emmy.
Well,
I would have made sure that you got a sports Emmy because you're family.
I'm always honored to be in your guys' presence. Again, I always tell people, they always ask, you know, how's Theodore and how are the Danettes? I'm like, I am a fifth Danette. I'm an adopted child. I'm part of the family.
Thank you, Reg.
Appreciate it, guys. Love you.
That's Reggie Aloysius Miller, Jr. the third. He's got a doubleheader today. We'll take a break. We'll get some phone calls. McLevin, did you come up with a poll question today?
Yeah, we said, should they award the Heisman for this season?
Ooh,
this
boy.
Fall season, not this spring season, by the way, just to clarify.
Wow, we're going to open it up, huh? We're going to get started.
Yep.
Manuel in Ohio joins us on the program. Manuel, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
I wanted your opinion and thoughts. Ohio is, you know, moving full ahead to play high school football, but yet we canceled all the collegiate, you know, athletics in the fall. I mean, don't you think that high school kids would be more vulnerable because they're not being tested and so on?
Yep. I'm trying to understand the logic of Iowa State can play, but Iowa can't play. So they're in the same state, but one school is planning on playing and the other one is not.
Yes, conferences, man.
Yeah, I know. It comes down to liability here. And the Big Ten and Pac-12 are not willing to roll the dice on this. We'll talk to Chip Kelly, UCLA head coach. He'll join us coming up at the top of the hour. Brad in Flavortown joining us on the program. Hi, Brad.
Hi.
Hey, Brad.
My name's Carmella.
Okay.
I'm 4'2". 74 pounds.
All right. And what can I do for you today?
Sorry for your loss. And do you think college football will play this year?
Yes, I think they're gonna try to do this. And thank you for calling and expressing your sympathies for my loss. Thank you very much. Sorry for your loss. Ted in Tampa is back. Hey, Ted, how are you?
Hey, great, Dan.
first of all, I mean, you already know it. That was crap Monday night with the Emmy Award. All those other shows that you all are against, they're taped. You know, they're taped. They can run it back and forth, read a thing five or six times. How many people have 60 to 70 people a day call in and are put on hold for maybe like 30 minutes to an hour just waiting to provide input to you and the Danettes? None of them.
All right.
So, I think it just reflects a lot about the audience, the vote who was allowed to vote for those Emmys and the audience of the real ham and egg sports fans who are diehard fans of the Dan Patrick Show.
Thank you, Chad.
And number two, Don Prady had his sports thing last week, his press conference. But the local sports heads sat in and took in, and they always give him softball questions. So they wouldn't take call-in questions like the one that you gave me about did he have any influence with the Garoppolo trade.
Oh, so the Brady press conference, and then they didn't take phone calls from the listeners.
Yeah, the local radio heads always go to those and take them because they know, hey, I got to come here tomorrow. I got to come here after the next game. So we're not going to give Arians or Tom Brady any hard question to deal with. You know, so don't let those guys call in because the call-in guys ask direct questions, hard questions. And then the last thing, Dan, I'll let you go. You probably know Kenny Payne, coached at University of Kentucky, assistant coach since 2010. Just got acquired by the Knicks.
Yeah, I just saw that. But thank you, Ted. Ted leading the charge. Take it to the streets, Ted. Let them know. Let them know. I don't know who votes on these sports Emmys. I never met somebody who said, hey, I voted on your category. And that's probably a good thing. And I have fun with this. I know people go, yesterday after the show, I heard from some people in the business, in the industry, and they said, boy, you really took that hard. I said, well, it was a show. I mean, I am an actor. We were having fun. Am I disappointed? Yeah. But I'm disappointed more for the Danettes. Because, you know, they haven't won one, and just to be able to share it with us, that would be great. But as I maintain to Seton, and he hates hearing it, it's bad for our brand if we win a sports Emmy. I don't want to be the favorite. I've never been the favorite. I don't want to start now.
It's not about being the favorite. It's about, because you are actually the favorite. It's about being the winner. That's actually the thing.
No, in my mind,
yeah.
I'm not the favorite. But
you won't be even if we won. You'd be like, that's all right. We're not doing it again this year.
Yeah, Paulie.
If you told me in 2015 the Cubs brand is going to change, I would have signed up for it.
Yeah, but nobody cares about the Cubs now.
I'm fine with that. I got my one.
That's okay.
You're okay if people don't care about us, that all of a sudden they're like, oh, let's move on.
But because the people that aren't going to care about us and will move on is going to be probably the sports Emmy people. I think that our audience will stay with us.
Mm. I don't know. We may sound different, act different.
Yeah.
Approach to the show is different. I don't want to be an elitist here. I want to be a man of the people. I'm just an everyday guy.
Ham and eggs.
That's me. Yeah. I'm ham, and you guys are my eggs. Let's take a break. Play of the day is coming up next. Your phone calls as well. Chip Kelly, top of the hour. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Pastrnak cuts through the middle. Right circle, it's fired. They score! The legend of Bergeron continues in double overtime. Bergeron wins it for the Bruins. 4-3 over the Hurricanes.
Patrice Bergeron. It's courtesy of the Sports Hub in Boston. Bruins take game one of their first round series against the Hurricanes, and they do so in double overtime. Play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by buyraycon.com. The wireless earbuds get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Patrick. We settled on a poll question. We're trying to find out from the Heisman Trophy Committee if there is going to be a Heisman handed out. Are they planning on handing out a Heisman? And I would think that they would, the statement would be that they're still planning on handing out a Heisman Trophy this year. Yes, McLovin.
So you have three conferences, basically. Yeah. I mean, do you think that's fair? Justin Fields, for example, might not get a crack at it.
Well, he won't.
Yeah, right. He wouldn't get a crack at it. So you could make an argument that it's an incomplete field.
I just don't know, you know, where we're going to be in a month from now. Because right now it feels like you've got three conferences who say we're going to be playing. All it's going to take are a couple of nervous presidents at some of these universities, and then all of a sudden you might not have a full conference who's going to be playing football. That's my guess with what's going to happen. No other information than what I've had the first couple of days of this week. The information I have with Nebraska is, once again, it's a legal loophole, I think, where the Big Ten is looking at Nebraska. If Nebraska goes rogue and says, wait, we didn't cancel the season. We postponed it to the spring. So you can't say, we can't play football. You're canceling this. We're postponing it. And that means we're planning on spring football. Yes, Pauling.
But you might look at it the other way. If I'm a Big 12 SEC ACC president and I decide to go rogue and cancel the football season for my team, my program, I would be concerned about my job long term. You know what stirs the drink at a lot of those universities is booster donor money. And if you're the president who takes, name a team, Mississippi State football out of the mix and everyone else is playing, I would.
Yeah, but should the president of Ohio State be worried about his job?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference?
My guess is the fan base there is very upset with them.
You know what? Ohio State has a fan base that rivals SEC fan bases. I'm just telling you this, you know, that because you think with Ohio and you're, you know, we don't lump them in with what the SEC has with their fan bases. Ohio State is right there toe-to-toe with any fan base that you have in college football. And I can't imagine that anybody is sympathetic with what's going on and saying, yeah, on second thought. I mean, I would say that the majority of Ohio State fans want to be playing football and not going, you know what, I understand the liability here and it makes more sense with our student athletes. I don't think that's playing too well in Columbus, Ohio. We'll talk to Chip Kelly, the UCLA head coach, get his thoughts on all of this. I don't know what kind of impact the coaches or input the coaches had on this decision in the Pac-12. Because I don't even know, can you practice? And I know they're talking about spring football. I think spring football just takes away a little bit of the sting here where you go, hey, can't do it now, planning on the spring. I don't know if you can pull this off in the spring. If you can't do it now, what's going to change? Unless we have a vaccine, is that it? And even then, I don't know if you're going to have these. Maybe the Ivy League pulls this off in the spring. But I think it's going to be, degree of difficulty is going to be high. But I still not quite sure why Iowa can't play, but Iowa State can play. In the same state, but a different conference. More phone calls coming up. Also, our friend Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football co-host, had a podcast with Aaron Rodgers. It was really revealing. And Aaron's take on the media, I thought was interesting. I'll bring that to your attention. Kyle will join us coming up a little bit later on as well. 1 hour in the books, two more to go on this Thursday, Dan Patrick Show.